This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mock Monday time, baby.
Mock, mock.
We always love Mock Monday here on Baskin and Phelps because why? Well, it is our Super Bowl. Isn't that the truth, Andy?
That is so true, Jeff. True words have never been spoken.
We check in with CBS Sports NFL writer Chris Trapasso, who has a mock draft out that we find very interesting. Chris, good to have you with us.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you being with us.
Chris, let me ask you one thing really quick. You're a Buffalo guy, right?
Yes, I am.
Are you shocked that, like, the number one market in the country yesterday for television ratings on the Super Bowl? Buffalo.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not that surprised just because, like, Cleveland, Buffalo is a great football city, and fans in Buffalo absolutely hate the Patriots and Tom Brady, so I think that played into it as well.
Any chance they were celebrating? Did they have to grease the poles in Buffalo yesterday at the Harbor Center?
I don't know if there was any rioting in the streets, but I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of the households were very happy with how that game ended last night.
All right.
Chris Trapasso joining us, Mock Monday. You have a new mock draft out that features a name that Browns fans don't have on their radar as of yet. They will after you get there. But before we get to who you have at 1-4 for the Browns, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a quarterback in this draft who is going to be the next Dan Marino, the next Brett Favre, the next Peyton Manning, a guy who, yep, we're not taking a chance here, we're drafting a stud?
Man, that's tough. I mean, obviously when you're trying to evaluate these college players, it's always really hard to envision them 5, 10, 15 years down the road as a legendary player like a Dan Marino or John Elway. It's kind of a weird situation because I think Sam Darnold, if you believe that your coaching staff, that the environment you can build around your player can help the development of a quarterback, that you're not just putting it all on him right away, Sam Darnold, to me, is the guy who can be that type of, you know, elite quarterback for a long period of time. I think Josh Rosen is close to that as well. I'm just not the biggest believer that quarterbacks change a ton once they're in the NFL. We've always heard about, oh, this guy's going to change his delivery and make it quicker, and it rarely happens. This guy's going to cut down on the turnovers, and that doesn't usually happen. So that's why I'm kind of a little bit lower on Sam Darnold than most people. But he is going to be the youngest first-round quarterback ever drafted. He's only going to be 20 years old when he's picked, a few months younger than Matt Stafford when he was the number one overall pick, Andrew Bledsoe back in 94. So if you do believe in that development, I think Darnold has a Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck type of skill set. And just what he showed at such a young age in college with such little experience was really impressive.
What did you think of DeShone Kizer last year and then what he was able to do this year?
I was not a big DeShone Kizer fan for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned just now that, yes, he looks the part. He was a fantastic athlete at the combine, big arm, 6'4", but I just saw bad decision-making. I didn't see consistent accuracy at Notre Dame. He was certainly better when he had Will Fuller, obviously, and he did lose some talent in his final season in South Bend. But he, to me, was another example. And I'm not going to totally write him off after his rookie season because there were some flashes. But he, to me, was, you know, the next iteration of the guy that looks the part with the big arm, 6'5", but doesn't have those finer details of playing quarterback down by the time he gets to the NFL. And then against the top competition in the world, you know, it's tough for a quarterback to, you know, read coverages when everything's, you know, a step faster and, you know, move in the pocket better than he did in college. Those flashes we saw Matt Notre Dame even in his final season there, and there were some games, there were a couple quarters for the Browns this season that he did look really good. I just don't know if we're ever going to see him be that consistent quarterback and, you know, be effective enough to, you know, lead the Browns to the playoffs and, you know, ultimately a Super Bowl.
Chris Trapasso joining us, CBS Sports on Mock Monday. So with that evaluation of Kizer, can I interpret that you would think, yep, pick the best quarterback, the guy that you think is going to be a stud at number one, maybe sign a veteran if Sam Darnold is going to be the youngest quarterback ever coming into the NFL, and let that quarterback play while Darnold and Kizer both sit behind him?
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of that plays into, you know, with GM John Dorsey in Cleveland. I think a lot of times when a GM takes over a team like this, that they do want to, you know, have their hand picking of a quarterback. And I think that route, whether it's Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, it seems to be that it's going to be one of those two guys. They're both very young. I mean, Josh Rosen just turned 21. He had 2.5 years as a starter at UCLA. So he could, in the minds of someone like John Dorsey or Hugh Jackson, have his best football ahead of him. Both of the film that Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen had in college was, I think, you know, clearly better than DeShone Kizer. But to sign a veteran, and I don't necessarily think it needs to be Kirk Cousins, because I think the team that does sign him wants him for 4, 5, or 6 years. Sign a bridge guy, and if things aren't going well, even halfway through the season, then you can start Darnold or Rosen. But they're just players that have so much talent, but are so young and so relatively inexperienced for being a quarterback prospect in this draft.
Chris, let me ask you this. So I was looking at your draft the other day, as a matter of fact, from the 31st, and you had the Browns taking Orlando Brown, the offensive lineman, tackle out of Oklahoma. And then today, you switched over to Joshua Jackson, the corner from Iowa. How come the change, and what do both these guys bring to the table?
Well, I think why I made that change is that I think with Joe Thomas, yes, he did end the season on IR, but beyond that, obviously he's been the most durable offensive lineman in the NFL. They signed him to a contract extension for one more year. I don't think offensive tackle is as pressing of a need, and I initially had Orlando Brown there, because John Dorsey, his first pick as the GM of the Chiefs in 2013 was Eric Fisher, so he does clearly have a track record of, you know, prioritizing the offensive line and especially that left tackle spot. I think cornerback is a more pressing need right now. And Minka Fitzpatrick from Alabama has kind of been the trendy pick for the Browns, but he's more of a safety corner hybrid who can blitz off the edge very well. Joshua Jackson is just an old school outside number one cornerback, and kind of bringing it back to what Dorsey did in Kansas City. You know, he picked Marcus Peters in the first round, was a lot more controversial because of the off field, but his film was, I think, very similar to Joshua Jackson. And he certainly, you know, reaped the benefits of picking Marcus Peters in that 2015 draft. So for me, Joshua Jackson is not a name right now, like you mentioned, that is a household name. I think after the combine, he will be. And if a team like the Browns wants just an outside lockdown cornerback in that Desmond Trufant, Marcus Peters type mold, that's what you get with Joshua Jackson.
Chris Trapasso joining us from CBS Sports here on Mock Monday. Chris, your pick at number 9, I think, will really interest folks here in Northeast Ohio, because there's some rumbling in Northeast Ohio that folks would like to see the Browns take this guy at number 1. At number 9, you have Saquon Barkley going to the San Francisco 49ers. And if I can read your summation, a few teams like the Giants and the Browns will consider Barkley in the early stages of the draft because he's a special talent. But then we talked about this last week. But the insane depth of this running back class pushes him to number 9 overall. Interesting. If you're the Browns, is there any way you take Barkley at 1 or 4 based on the depth of this running back class?
I wouldn't, and I don't think that they will. For as much as John Dorsey is a, you know, kind of been labeled as an old school football guy, I do keep going back to what he did in Kansas City. He found guys like Spencer Ware, Sharkhandrick West, even Kareem Hunt, you know, who was not picked in the first round. And those weren't even players that were really highly touted. They could even pick someone like Ronald Jones out of USC at the top of the second. Darius Geis from LSU, I think, is actually a similar talent to Saquon Barkley. And then you just have a load of guys from probably the 3rd or 5th round that you can pair with Duke Johnson and have a, you know, certainly capable running back duo. I think it would make a lot more sense to get a premier talent at a position that has a little bit more overall value. I've kind of gone back and forth. I've had a few mock drafts with Barkley at 4 to the Browns, but I think Dorsey will realize, you know, that most of the time you can get a good running back in the second, third, or fourth round, but especially in this class because there are just so many good names.
All right, what's the difference between these quarterbacks as of right now before we get to the combine? What's the difference between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, whose name still kind of rumbles around here?
I think Darnold, and we certainly saw it last night in the Super Bowl, that there's, you know, getting to be a huge collegiate influence on the NFL with the run-pass option. We heard Al Michaels say RPO about 100 times last night. You know, a lot of spread, a lot of passing, a lot of offense. So it kind of depending on what a team thinks they want to do on offense, if they want to kind of go that route of the RPO and, you know, almost like they're playing in the Big 12, I think Baker Mayfield would make a lot of sense. I'm not as high on Baker Mayfield as everyone else because I saw that Oklahoma offense get so many receivers wide open for him, and that offensive line, I thought, going into the, you know, all the way into the college football playoff, was the best offensive line in college football. He wasn't under pressure a lot. The scheme just got so many wideouts just totally open down the field on bubble screens, over the middle. So I didn't see him make a ton of tight window throws. And conversely, Sam Darnold is capable and even showed it as a redshirt freshman in 2016 of, you know, making those ridiculous anticipation throws over a linebacker in front of a safety against all different types of coverages. There's a little more propensity for interceptions and for turnovers with Darnold than there is with Mayfield, but he played in not necessarily an archaic offense, but more of a traditional offense that certainly had some new age elements, but was not one that was getting a ton of guys wide open, you know, 10, 15 times a game.
Chris, last thing. We have about 15 seconds. If you're the Browns, do you even consider trading the number one pick, or are you taking the guy you consider the best quarterback in this draft?
I would not trade the pick. I would consider maybe moving back a few spots from 4, but I would just take the best quarterback at number 1.
Chris, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
I'm sure
Chris.
We'll check back with you as we get closer to the draft.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Trabasso, you can read him on CBSSports.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.